Okay, let's read once again, beginning at verse 20, 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your soul and obeyed the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So we're talking about the glory of God, the reason that God made man in the fashion that he did was for the ultimate of his glory. The glory of God is in the salvation of the sinner. Christ came into the world to save who?
Sinners.
Save what?
Yeah.
To save sinners. The apostle said, of whom I am chief. Again, we know that Jesus himself, he acknowledged this. I came not to save, to call the righteous, right, to repentance, but sinners he came to call unto repentance, to save. Came to save his people. And we all are sinners. There is none righteous, there's none that doeth good, there's none that understandeth, there's not a one. This is who he came to save, though. He didn't come to save those publicans, I'm sorry, those scribes and Pharisees. And isn't that amazing? Here the publican comes up, and what is his prayer? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Every person that is ever going to come to God is going to have to first acknowledge that. I said it in the past, and I believe it with all my heart, I believe it's biblical, that the first righteous thing, we're talking about righteous or doing righteousness, the first righteous thing that a man ever does is confess that he's a sinner. If he doesn't confess that he's a sinner, what else can he do that's righteous? Nothing. It all depends upon his understanding that he is a sinner. And then all the rest of it falls into place. Then he begins to understand the mercy of God. He begins to understand the grace of God. He begins to understand the goodness of God. He begins to understand the faithfulness of God. He begins to understand God, but he cannot understand God outside of his mercy. And he cannot understand mercy unless he's a sinner. That is an amazing thing, but it is true. God, then, the glory of God is in the salvation of the sinner through the sacrifice of his Son. God is not going to share that glory even with the saved, except in the sense that we are going to be able to glorify God. But again, you cannot glorify God unless God first gives you that glory. You can't do it. And what I mean by we're not going to ever share that glory, I'm talking about we're not going to ever be able to say that we are our own Savior.
Amen.
And guess what? You never will want to.
Amen.
Because, once again, if you did want to, it would be sin. And you're not a sinner. By the Spirit of God, you're not a sinner.
Amen.
The Spirit of God within you is not a sinner.
Amen.
It's through the sacrifice of His Son. Now, we've already read out of John chapter 17 and chapter 12, and of course chapter 13 and verse 32, he says exactly the same thing. But if God had made man to where he could not sin, then man would be devoid of the fullness of praise. Let me say that again. If man could not sin, if God had made him in such a fashion as he could not sin in the beginning, and we've already said the times come when God makes man for he cannot sin. But if he did that in the beginning, man would be devoid. In other words, he would be robbed of the fullness of the praise of God. Why is that?
Well, he wouldn't have his Spirit.
He wouldn't have his Spirit, and he would not have a reason. Right?
Right.
There simply would not be an incentive to praise God in high mass, like those people did. Isn't that what it says? Hosanna in the highest.
Right.
Hosanna in the highest. But without man needing a Savior, that praise would have no place. And once again, I'm fully aware that these things are difficult. In fact, they are more than difficult, they're impossible for the natural man to conceive of. But they shouldn't be for us. In fact, we do rejoice, not in the knowledge that we are sinners, but in the knowledge that God has saved us from. John chapter 4 in verse 19, what does it say? Says we love Him. Why?
Because
He first loved us. But wherein is that love found?
Oh, it's Christ.
Yes, it's in Jesus. He loved us in Christ. He loved us because of Christ.
Right.
The only way that we are accepted is how?
Through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, in the beloved.
Right.
And who is the beloved? It's Christ. It's Jesus.
Right.
In the 86th Psalm, for instance, this is just a for instance, if you will. You can read it in so many places, but in the Psalm, the 86th Psalm, the psalmist says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." There's praise in that. Not only the sinner, though, can say that. It's only the sinner that really needs God.
Right.
The rest of them don't really need Him.
Right.
Oh, they like the things that He has to give, but they don't really need Him.
Well, they need them, they just don't know it.
Well, that's true. I'm talking about in their knowledge.
Right. Yeah,
their understanding that they do not need Him.
Right.
They can do it very well themselves, thank you. The reason, and it's obvious because they keep doing it.
Right.
And thinking that they're going to have a good result from it.
All right.
And I think that's kind of the definition of stupidity, isn't it?
Folly, vanity.
Whatever, you keep doing the same thing over and over again, think it's going to have a different outcome or whatever.
Like I think it was Anthony Burgess said, how can they understand the error of their way when their way is the error?
Yeah, right. It's not possible, is it? But God shows us the error of our way.
Amen.
And not only that, but know you not that it is the goodness of God that does what?
Leads
you to repentance. It's the goodness of God. If God didn't do it, you won't do it. You will not do it. That's how, can I say, hard-headed we are, or hard-hearted we are, is that if God does not lead us to repentance, we cannot do it. But He does. He leads us to repentance, and how sweet it is once we have come to repentance. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. Really? Then why are you pleading with God? If you're holy, why are you poor and needy? Because you've been set aside unto God, and in many ways you failed, right? Even though you're set aside unto God, yet the flesh sometimes prevails. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Now, as we read down through this, see if you do not think that this is praise. Even though you don't find the word phrase per se. Nevertheless, all of this is the praise of God. To confess that you're a sinner is to the praise of God. To confess that you're poor and needy is to the praise of God. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. It's to the praise of God to believe that he will answer. It's to the praise of God to call upon him when you're in trouble. It says, among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. That's kind of praise, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, sure.
All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud arisen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before me. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O, turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thy name. Show me a token of good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because thou, Lord, hast opened me and comforted me. Is there any word in that whole psalm that is not to the praise and the glory of God? And if God again had not made man so he could sin, then the glory of this mercy could have never known. Who is a God like unto our God? Micah chapter 7, Micah asks that question in verse 18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Is there any God like unto our God? And the answer, of course, is no. First of all, because there is only one true God. And have you ever noticed that in all the religions of the world, there's only one that teaches for its center doctrine, the blood of the Lamb and the preciousness thereof? Every other religion, no matter what it is, whether it calls this man Christian or not, there's only one that proclaims salvation by the blood alone. See, even the Catholics do not proclaim that. They do not proclaim that it's all because of the blood of Christ. But most others don't even do that. But the only thing that pleases God is to acknowledge that Christ and Christ alone deserves the glory, because Christ and Christ alone shed His blood there on the cross.
And He did it as a man.
Sir?
He did it as a man. I mean, that's what really, just like we are, the same failures, all those sorts of things. And He went to the cross that way.
Yes. Absolutely.
And whatever understanding He had from the time He was born until then, He had the Spirit without measure, but it was the Spirit with His soul.
Yeah.
And He did not sin.
He did not sin.
I mean, I like thinking about it. I'm just blown away by that by itself.
Yeah,
and everything else that goes along with it.
And we'll understand it more by and by. But it is. It's so amazing.
Well, it's like that verse I showed you yesterday. I think it was yesterday. The law came by Moses, and the truth by
grace and truth by
Jesus Christ. And now I know. You know, I finally realized that happened at the very beginning. But see, I was taught that it came at His incarnation.
But isn't it a blessing that the further we go along, the better we understand?
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
And the sweeter it becomes.
Yes.
And the more humble it becomes.
Yes.
And the more gracious. And ultimately, you see, we understand more and more mercy.
Absolutely.
Were it not that God were merciful,
there'd be no salvation.
No salvation at all. Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, and He said, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee. God is going to show Moses all of His goodness. My brother Jerry, does all there mean all?
I believe that one day He will show all of His grace and mercy toward you.
Yep, I do too. But does that all mean all?
I believe it means every bit of every. There's no way for me to say
so what
define all, because all, to me, all means absolutely all.
So God is going to show Moses all of his goodness. But he's going to encapsulate it in a few phrases.
Right.
And what is all of his goodness? I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And first, then, it's the proclamation of the name of the Lord. That's what he said. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. The name of the Lord is good, isn't it?
Amen.
And then he says, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Here is all of the goodness of God. It's in it's encapsulated or it is contained within his mercy and grace. Now, God does good things every day, right?
Yes.
He does good things for me every day. He does good things for you every day. But here, it's all encompassed in this. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. So all the goodness of God is contained right here in these few words. So how can man glorify God in such a notion as man's free will?
Right.
And of course, the Apostle Paul expanded on that a little bit in the 9th chapter of Romans.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But he's saying the same thing, only it's just a little more.
Right.
I don't know, we could just read scripture after scripture, but again, let's turn, if you will, to the 59th Psalm. We'll read a couple verses there right quick. Ultimately, we're going to wind up in the 136th Psalm. The 159th Psalm, verse 16.
What did you say first? Psalm 59?
Psalm 59.
Yeah, I thought it was
159. Psalm 59, if I said 159, I'd be sure. Let's stop.
You mentioned that in the second or third. That's what proved it.
We're going to end up with the 136th Psalm.
Right, I heard that part.
But there's only 150 Psalms, so.
Oh, well, see, there you go.
Anyway, the 59th Psalm, verse 16. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Here is the absolute praise of God. The highest praise that we can give of God. The 101st Psalm. The psalmist says again, I will sing of mercy, verse 1, and of judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Is I going to sing unto another, is he? No, it's just unto God. The only true God and Jesus Christ in the assembly. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. And then there's that 136th Psalm. Amazing. It is an amazing psalm. I mean, there's not another like it anywhere.
Well,
because it extols the mercy of God.
Yes.
The psalmist just can't get enough of it.
Right.
He can't get enough of saying it. He can't get enough of praising God for His mercy. How many verses is in it? There's 26 verses. And how does every one of them end? Every one of them ends exactly the same way. For His mercy endureth forever. So I will give thanks unto the Lord for His good, for His mercy endureth forever. I will give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heaven, what are we doing? Oh, we're thanking Him. Give thanks to Him, right? To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endures forever. Give thanks to Him, what? That stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endures forever. In essence, what the psalmist is saying is that everything depends upon, it depended upon and still depends upon the mercy of God. And the mercy of God is known in the forgiveness of the sins of His people because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And if man had never seen them, this would not have been possible. So once again, and you can read, we won't read the rest of those verses because of time, but you can read them. Nothing keeps you from reading them.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And I hope rejoicing in them.
Amen.
But so we read, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for who?
Us.
For you.
Well,
Peter says for you.
Well, I wanted to, yeah, right. I wanted I wasn't going to say you, but I wanted to include me in that.
Well, I believe that would be plural. That you there would be plural.
Right, right.
It is for the body of Christ.
Yes.
It is for the redeemed of Christ.
No man abides alone.
It is all together one.
We understand
that yes, each person has to be saved individually. But God in Christ did not die for you alone.
Correct. Amen.
He died for His body.
Right.
The church.
The Lord our righteousness.
Right. Yeah. And no man is going to receive the glory that God and the church. We're not individuals in the body of Christ. We're one. We're just one.
Yeah.
What?
It's good to have in my mind that, oh, God. About that just comes. But not, you know, our righteousness belongs.
All right. Who by Him do believe in God? And we didn't even get to that part of it, did we? And yet we know. But it's so wonderful thing that.
Yes, it is.
It is God.
Yeah.
That work is in
to do
the will and do it. Faith is of God.
Amen.
It's not of me, it's not of you, but it is God. Father, thank you for this day again. I thank you, oh God. I thank you if you can make the dreariest and the drabbest days to be so wonderful. You can make the light to shine out of darkness as you have done even once again this very day. Lord, do not let that word escape from us, but rather let it be our life. All the day. All the night. The prophet said when he sits in darkness that you would be alive alone. Well, sometimes in this old sinful world, we find ourselves as though we're in darkness. Our souls were darkened by the sins that we commit. Then it's hard to see light. And oh Lord, we have to examine ourselves that we be in the faith. We have to prove ourselves and set to be there. When your word speaks to us, when it becomes a God, not along with just dead command, but it is a song in our hearts, then, O God, the light will shine, and we are made to rejoice, even in the darkest of night. in the world today, there's darkness, big darkness, so big that it can be found. We do know something of what the Israelites went through when they were in Egypt, and especially in that time when you brought that with darkness upon them. But thank you, O God, that you were open the windows of heaven and shone through so that we might see Jesus and be standing. Sitting. He is sitting but moving. He is acting. We will see him by thy right. O Father, what a vision. No man can see it except thou with our eyes. So thank you again for the fellowship. Thank you for the wonderful gifts. Thank you for the prayer. Thank you for the word. And now, Lord, thank you also that we've been refreshed in our bodies as well as our souls.